Good morning. It's Sunday, May 3rd, and we're coming to you this morning from the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey. I'm Lou Paradiso, the pastor. We wanted to come this morning with the word from God in the Bible in Luke in chapter 15. So if you are watching, tuning in this morning, you have your Bibles, turn to Luke in chapter 15. There is so many great nuggets of truth in Luke in chapter 15. We have the three parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep. We have the parable of the lost coin. And of course, we have the parable of the lost son. And so in all of these three parables this morning, we see there's a constant. In Luke in chapter 15, if you go to verse 7, we see the Bible says, "I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So what scripture is telling us there is that this one sheep was lost, and there was more joy in heaven over someone who's lost and being found than there would someone who's not lost. The 99 that are not lost, they don't need to be found because they're not lost, if you will. They're saved, if you will, and there's more joy over one that's lost. So one sheep got lost out of 100, and the shepherd found it and came back, and the Bible says there was great joy. The Bible says in verse 6, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Then if you go to the parable of the lost coin, the Bible says in verse 8, "A woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one, she doesn't light a candle," the Bible says, "does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it." Back in that day, people kept their money not in banks or CDs or in bonds, but they kept their money on their person. And most of the time, the women would have it around their neck. And so this woman lost the coin. The Bible says, when she had found it in verse 9 of Luke chapter 15, she called her friends. So she looked everywhere. She found it. She called her friends, the Bible says, and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Now, verse 10 basically tells us the same thing that verse 7 told us in reference to the lost sheep. Verse 10 tells us, "Likewise I saith unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And so, now remember who Jesus is speaking to. If you go back over to chapter 15, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Then draw near unto him the publicans and sinners to hear him." So now Jesus is speaking to sinners, lost people, townspeople, publicans, and sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured in verse 2, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, we know that the Pharisees and the scribes were the religious leaders of that day. The scribes were the ones that actually wrote down the law. The Pharisees were the ones that basically oversaw the law, made sure everybody was doing everything they were supposed to do, keeping the rituals, keeping the traditions, keeping the law to the letter of it. And so they had this external way of having religion, if you will. They had this external outward appearance of something that may have not been so inwardly. And Jesus was basically given these parables, and at the end, he basically unmasks their external religion and talks about what it means to have it internally. So we come now to the parable of the lost son in verse 12. Actually, verse 11 says, "And the man had two sons." And verse 12 says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, The younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay. Now we have the son coming to his father, the younger son. There was an older brother, younger son. They were going to inherit whatever the father had. And the father had quite a bit. The father had a nice piece of property. He had some cattle. He was, you know, a big time farmer back then, if you will. And so the son came to the father and said, I want my inheritance now. Whatever I'm supposed to get, I'd like to have it now. Now the father wasn't obligated to give it to him now, but the father decided to give it to him, which, you know, many people would consider that to be crazy. Many people would consider the fact that the son, you know, went to the father and asked for his portion a little disrespectful. Most of the time you receive an inheritance when someone passes on. But the son wasn't thinking about respect at that moment. The son was thinking about himself, what he wanted to do. It was no longer to honor his father. It was really to feed his own selfish desires. So the son asks for the inheritance. The father gives it to him. And the son goes off. And the Bible tells us here that everything he had, he lost. Riotous living. What does that look like in today's world? In today's world, that looks like, you know what? He took all of the father's money that the father decided to give him, and he went out and blew it. He partied. He didn't make good decisions. Just, you know, drunk, living the way he shouldn't live. Letting the world and all of its enticements kind of suck him in, and that's what he did. And then the Bible says in verse 14, and when he had spent all, that means he spent it all. He had nothing left. A mighty famine in that land took place, and he began to be in want. So he blew it all, every penny of it. And now he's in a land where there's a famine. Now he's in today's world in a country that's in depression. He had no money. He had nowhere to go. And not only that, he had nobody to help him because everybody was hurting at that time. The Bible then says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the citizen sent him to his fields to feed swine. So he gets a job. He gets a job with someone, and he's feeding pigs. The Bible goes on to tell us, and he would fain and have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So he got to the point where he was so down, so depressed, so discouraged. He was eating with the pigs. He was eating with the pigs. You know, when you think about that, you think about decisions that we make, you think about sometimes the selfishness that we have within us, that we want what we think we deserve. And then when we get it, because we don't have the right, maybe heart, the right motives, the right attitude, we end up blowing it. We end up doing the wrong thing. And normally when that happens, you know, we're as down could be. And that's real. That's real. The Bible says in verse 17, when we get to that point where we know where we are and the mistakes we made, we get to see them. Something happens, and that's something is the same thing that we're going to see here in verse 17. Something happens to people when they are so focused on themselves. They live every way they want to live, and eventually they get to the point where they're down. And they're so down, the only place they can look is up. And that's what happened here. And when he came to himself, the Bible says in verse 17, the son came to himself. What does that mean? What does that look like? He came to himself. He came to himself. He was so down. You know, people say, you truly can't help someone unless they really want to be helped. Unless they're convinced and sold that they want to be helped, you can't help them. Well, here's a picture of someone who truly wanted to be helped. The Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? How many people serve my father? They have plenty. I'm my father's son, yet I'm out here eating with pigs. He came to himself. He came to himself. There's a point in time in all of our lives where we come to ourselves eventually. We will come to ourselves eventually. You know, there's two types of people in the world. Someone said this. Humble people and those who are about to be. And so, he says in verse 18, I will rise and go to my father. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, Father, I have sinned against you first. He says, I have sinned against heaven. He's repenting. He's repenting here. This is repentance. You know, when we sin, obviously, we have to repent. Repenting means to turn from our sin, to acknowledge our sin, and turn away from our sin. And so when we do that, we're acknowledging our sin because the first person that we sin against is God. So we ask God to forgive us. So if we sinned against an individual, we ask God to forgive us because we've sinned against that individual. God, forgive me because I've sinned against whoever it may be, in whatever circumstance it may be. And then we go to that individual, which is exactly what the son did. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And in verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Wow. Father, I'm coming to you now because I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. So just make me one of your servants. And the Bible says in verse 20, he arose and came to his father. See, he came to himself. He realized the condition he was in. He realized how wrong he was. And in his mind, he's replaying or rehearsing, really, how he's going to ask for forgiveness and repent. He's rehearsing this in his mind. That's what verse 18 is. It's a rehearsal in his mind. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. So this is a rehearsal. And in verse 20, now the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. So now he gets up, he's walking to his father, and the Bible says, but when he was yet a great way off, the Bible says his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Remember the rehearsal back in verse 18? Now, here's the main show. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, in verse 22, said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And there's a whole lot there. One of the things we have to take out of there is when he was afar off, when the son arose and the father saw him afar off, the father, first thing the Bible says is that the father saw him and had compassion for him. The father was feeling compassion for the son, who was as down as he could be. He was feeling the hurt and pain that the son had. The father was feeling that hurt and pain and had compassion for him. And he ran to him and hugged him and kissed his neck and said, bring the calf, get him shoes, get him a robe. My son who was dead is alive again, and let's party. Let's party. There is a lot of joy in God. What brings joy to God? When the sheep, the one out of the 100, was lost and it was found. When the coin, the one that was lost, was found. When the son who was lost, who was found. When the sinner who acknowledges their sin and cries out to God and repents of their sin and is saved, that brings joy to God. There's great joy. And so we see here in the parable, it's not over. It's not over yet. But we see here, we see God's great grace. We see God's great grace. Now remember back in the first verses, Jesus of chapter 15, Jesus is talking to who? The publicans and the sinners. But he was also being goaded by the scribes and the Pharisees. Because remember, they were all about the external look of religion. They were all about putting on a show. That's what they were about. Just doing everything to look, have a form of religion. Have something that looks like it's something, you know. Hey, parking lot's full, we're doing great. A form. Looks aren't always what they seem to be, though. And so what happens now is the elder son, in verse 25, the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. The older son, who also was part of the will, the father was going to leave the younger son a certain percentage and the older son a certain percentage. The younger son took the money. Now the older son is working hard out in the field, and he hears the music and the dancing. And the Bible says, and he called one of the servants and asked what's going on, what these things meant. And the servant said in verse 27, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed and fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. So, hey, your brother's back, and there's a party. And so your brother's safe, your brother's doing well, your father is so happy that he's back, and so we're having a party. And the Bible says in verse 28, the brother was angry. And he was angry, the Bible says, and wouldn't go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So what do you mean my son's not coming to the party? What's the problem? He's my son. You would think that the one brother would be happy that the other brother's home. And so the father gets the news that he's not coming in. So the father goes out. And the Bible says, and he answering in verse 29, and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Wow. Now the older son gets exposed. Now the older son, his true heart is coming out right now. And here's the deal about his true heart. His true heart is like, you know, all these years I've worked. I've never done anything wrong. I've been a good son. I've kept the commandments. I worked for you. I served for you. And you never gave me a kid. You never gave me a calf. You never threw me a party. And I've done all of this. Well, one of the questions, it's not here, but one of the questions in my mind would be, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you want a party? Are you doing it because you want an inheritance? Are you doing it because you want something back? What is the real reason that you've done it? So he's getting unmasked here, the same way the scribes and the Pharisees have gotten unmasked. Because the older son really now is almost representing what the scribes and the Pharisees were, which is really all about an external form of something, an external form of religion. And then in verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which he had devoured, thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for the fat of calf. And then he said to his son, son, in verse 31, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You're my son too. You're with me forever, and everything that I have is yours. And it was met, he says in verse 32, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So the father's saying to the son, the older son, your younger brother went out. He blew everything he had, lived a terrible life, right, in today's world, you know. Drunk, carousing, blew it all, and came back. He came to himself. He found himself. He asked for forgiveness. He repented. He was dead, and now he's alive again. Why wouldn't you be happy about that? Why wouldn't you be excited about that? Why wouldn't you come and celebrate that? And obviously, we can only, you know, surmise from the response of the older brother was the older brother was just really all about what am I getting? How come I'm not getting mine? I didn't ask for my inheritance. I stayed and worked, and you never threw a party for me. You never did this for me. You never did that for me. You notice something about that? It's about me, 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 me. It's about I did the commandments, all of them. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't transgress. So he represents really an external form of something. So what we see here in the parable here of the lost son, the prodigal son, you know, some people call it not the prodigal son, but the loving father, the merciful father, the parable of the gracious father. But you really have three stories here. You have the one son who was lost and who was found. And there was joy. You have the father who showed great mercy and grace and generosity. And then you have the older son who represents maybe a form outwardly of religion, but not an inward transformation. And so when we think about that, and we always hear about, well, church and church, or where do you go to church, or what church do you go to? And it's not so much about where you go, it's really more about what's your relationship like with Christ. It's personal. It's personal. And because we have a personal Lord and Savior, we have a personal relationship with Him. You know, this is a time where we're not meeting in buildings. We're social distancing. You know, churches are not meeting. We've been mandated to be very careful, and rightfully so. And so this way of meeting becomes the option that we have. And it's about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a little different, you know, staring into a camera or staring into a phone or, you know, preaching to a tripod. But here's what God is teaching me. It's not any more different than if you're in front of 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, 300 people. It really, when there's a transformation that takes place, it's real. And when transformation takes place in the heart of someone who didn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, it's real, because it's a transformation that was there, put there by the Holy Spirit of God. So we see a son here who came home, who was lost and was found. No different than maybe you or me or anyone else who has come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And we see a gracious, merciful, loving, and forgiving Father with enormous generosity, who's there when he hears that voice, when he hears that prayer of someone who comes to themselves. He's there. He's there. He's there for you. He's there for me. He's there for all of those who come to themselves and realize there is only one God. There's only one God. And realize that our sin eternally separates us from God. And understand the depth of what that means. That when we breathe our last breath, our soul, our spirit, will either reside in heaven or it will reside in hell. There's only two places. But God, who is so rich in his love and mercy and grace and doesn't want anyone to perish, he's so patient and long-suffering, sent Jesus Christ to die so that we would have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Christ and God. And because of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, that's made available to everyone. And that's a gracious, loving, merciful, forgiving Father with enormous generosity who wants that relationship with you. He's waiting for us to come to ourselves. And if you've come to yourself and you are in the family of God, that's tremendous. Praise the Lord. If you're struggling with things in your life, people who are in the family of God are struggling with things, and people who are not in the family of God are struggling with things. If you're not in the family of God and you're struggling with things, I can tell you this, your life won't ever become perfect, but you'll have a great peace and you'll have to struggle. Christ will bear your burden. He will bear your burden. If you call out to him, repent of your sin, come to yourself, cry out, ask for forgiveness, and God sees the genuineness in that cry, the genuineness in that prayer, and adopts you into the family, and that brings great peace. And the Bible's told us in chapter 15, and you can read it on your own, okay? There's always joy in heaven when someone's found who was lost, when the sheep was found, when the coin was found, when the lost son came back. There'll be great joy in heaven when you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. We pray for that for you. We truly want to see that in people's lives at the Madison Baptist Church. And so God bless you. Be safe and have a wonderful weekend.